Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
This is Jeff Schwarz, General Manager of Lutheran Public Radio, with a message for listeners in the Mountain and Pacific time zones. We pledge to have Issues Etc. podcasts posted daily, no later than 5 p.m. Mountain, 4 p.m. Pacific. This will allow you to download and listen to the latest Issues Etc. podcast weekdays during your evening commute. Again, if you live in the Mountain or Pacific time zone, download Issues Etc. before you leave work and listen during your drive home.
Recent news about a gunman in Vienna who was on the very eve of new COVID restrictions walking the evening streets with a gun shooting people randomly. That comes on the heels of a beheading near Paris and a knife attack in Nice, both of those cities obviously in France. Why are these happening, and has any terrorist organization claimed responsibility for any of these recent attacks? Joining us to talk about these recent Islamic terrorist attacks in Austria and France, Robert Spencer. He's director of Jihad Watch, author of several books on Islam, including his latest, The History of Jihad, From Muhammad to ISIS. Robert, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, good to be back, Todd. Thank you.
The press is reporting that in Vienna, city officials have closed the mosque and an Islamic organization that they have linked to the most recent terrorist attacks. Is this a good idea?
Yeah, definitely. Actually, it's unusual in that most of the time after terror attacks all over Europe, as well as in North America, nobody ever seems to wonder where it was that the attacker got his idea that this would be good to kill unbelievers or try to. And so this is one of the first times that a governing authority has actually taken notice of that and taken action against the likely source of what is known as the radicalization of the person involved.
I believe that in the case of the Vienna attacks, some Islamic, national Islamic terrorist group has claimed responsibility. Is that true?
Yeah, the Islamic State has claimed responsibility, no doubt. They have explained this rather oddly as retaliation for Austria's participation in the coalition in Syria, which it actually did not do. And so it's really kind of strange and more likely that they are reacting to the Charlie Hebdo cartoons.
So the shooter is called by the Islamic State in their statement of responsibility, quote, a soldier of the caliphate. What does that mean?
The caliphate is the universal government of all Muslims worldwide. There is no caliph right now. The caliph means successor, and the successor of Muhammad is the political, military, and spiritual leader of the Muslims worldwide. But the caliphate was abolished by the secular Turkish government in 1924. It has been one of the primary objectives of jihad groups around the world to restore it ever since it's been abolished. As a matter of fact, that's one of the reasons why the Muslim Brotherhood was founded, in order to restore the caliphate. So the Islamic State actually claimed to have restored the caliphate when it had control over a large expanse of territory in Iraq and Syria. But now, of course, it's lost that territory, still claims, however, to be the caliphate. And so the attacker is termed a soldier of the caliphate because he is advancing the same jihad that the Islamic State stands for.
What did this 20-year-old shooter do there in Vienna?
The shooter went around actually shooting indiscriminately. He appeared to have chosen the time on the basis of the fact that a coronavirus lockdown was going into effect the next day. And so the outdoor cafes, the bars, they were all packed because people were having one night out, one last night out before they had to go back into their homes yet again. And so he ran along the street. Videos show this. shooting rather indiscriminately. Some people have pointed out that he started near a synagogue, but he does not seem to have attacked the synagogue itself. And so that doesn't seem to have been part of his attack. He just wanted to terrorize the Viennese. The Quran, after all, says that Muslims have the obligation to strike terror in the hearts of the unbelievers. And that appears to be what he was doing.
Linking him to this mosque in Vienna and another Islamic organization, do we know what his motivations were, what he was hearing there that motivated him to go on the shooting spree?
Well, it's likely that he was hearing that it was the obligation of Muslims to strike out violently against unbelievers, because this is a basic tenet of Islam. And so the idea that this is some sort of esoteric or twisting or hijacking of the religion is simply not borne out by the facts. The Quran teaches warfare against unbelievers. Muhammad teaches warfare against unbelievers. And so it's very likely that this Vienna mosque preached warfare against unbelievers and specifically couched it in the context of the political situation of today, whether it was in regard to, as has been claimed, the Austrian military involvement in Syria, which is actually non-existent, or whether it's about the cartoons. It's the same principle. The cartoons, of course, are considered to be blasphemy, and blasphemy is punishable by death in Islamic law.
The terrorist shooter was known to authorities already. He had already been sentenced to prison for attempting to travel to Syria to join then the Islamic State. That's how the Islamic State grew in a lot of ways, didn't it? From people coming from other countries and European countries, Western countries.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Actually, 30,000 Muslims from around the world, from 100 different countries, traveled to Iraq and Syria during the heyday of the Islamic State to join up because they accepted the idea that it was the caliphate. And this was an extraordinarily appealing claim to Muslims who had been brought up with the idea that it was a terrible thing that the caliphate had been abolished and that it must be restored as quickly as it can be.
This violence in Vienna comes after recent terrorist attacks in France. There was one, the beheading of a teacher near Paris, and then most recently a knife attack at a church in Nice. Can you tell us about both of those?
Yeah, the teacher was beheaded because he showed his classroom a cartoon of Muhammad. He did so after actually warning the Muslim students that they might be upset and inviting them to leave the class if they didn't want to see what he was going to show them. And he showed it because he was teaching a class about the importance of the freedom of speech, the freedom of expression. And so he was explaining to them that if one group can forbid other groups to say or display material that they think is offensive, then that one group has hegemony over all the others. And this was actually, his point was proven when he was murdered for doing this by a Muslim migrant in France who actually paid some of the students to point out the teacher to him and beheaded him for his blasphemy of showing the cartoon. Then, apparently in retaliation for the fact that France did not condemn the showing of the cartoons, but actually reaffirmed very strongly that it would defend the freedom of speech, a Muslim went into a church in Lyon just a few days after that and killed three people, beheading one woman. Completely random attack. They were just people in the church. But you see, the church was chosen because the general Islamic belief is that the West is Christian, that if you are in France, you're a Christian. And so it's a Christian thing that the Christians are making fun of the Muslim prophet by showing these Muhammad cartoons, and thus it is permissible for Muslims to retaliate against the Christians.
How has French President Emmanuel Macron responded to these two recent attacks?
Well, it was Macron who's been very strong in standing up and saying that we have the freedom of expression in France and we're going to defend it. At the same time, he has just recently said that he is in a struggle, as is all of Europe, against political Islam, against a misunderstanding of Islam, a twisting of Islam, but not the real thing, and that the real Islam is welcome in France and invited to France. Now, that's all very well. It sounds generous and open-minded and tolerant and so on. But Macron seems to be unaware of or indifferent to the fact that mainstream Islam, not just radical or political Islam, actually teaches this warfare against unbelievers and death penalty for blasphemy that we've been discussing. And so he's not really going to be able to delineate a difference between the two that's large enough for him to be able to maintain that he's fighting against one and not the other.
He has been accused of promoting a Zionist agenda and of Islamophobia. How do you respond to that?
Well, you know, this is the kind of thing that is said about anyone and everyone whenever they stand firm against Islamic Jihad terrorism and don't cower in the face of violent threats and violent acts. Whenever anybody stands up and says, we're going to stop this, then there are jihad-enabling peaceful groups that say, you are Islamophobic, you just hate Muslims, and that's why you're doing this. And it's no doubt in service of the Zionist agenda, because the Quran says, chapter 5, verse 82, that the Jews are the worst enemies of the Muslims. And so if anybody is going to be gratuitously and needlessly antagonizing the Muslims, that is, fighting against jihad terrorism, then it's got to be Zionists.
The knife-wielding terrorist in the Nice attacks, at least it's been reported by the press, was kind of bouncing around. He was frequenting clubs. He was without gainful employment. And it seems to paint a picture of young Islamic men ripe for radicalization. What are your thoughts there, Robert?
Well, yeah. I mean, actually, that's exactly the kind of man who ultimately becomes a jihadi. Not in every case, of course, but in all too many cases we see it. This kind of thing, however, is often invoked to suggest that these people are not true Muslims, that Macron is right, that they're not real Muslims who are doing this, because a real Muslim wouldn't be going to the clubs and drinking and that kind of thing. However, what you have portrayed is a rootless young man who is engaging in what the Islamic religion considers to be sinful behavior. Now, the Islamic religion does not have repentance and reconciliation. It doesn't have confession. It doesn't have confess your sins and be forgiven. It's just you sin. If your sins outweigh your good deeds on the great scales on the day of judgment, then you go to hell. And so how can you make sure that your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds on the great scales? You can do the greatest good deed of all, and that is, by Muhammad's own words, jihad. He was asked, can you tell me something that's greater to do than jihad? And he said, I can't think of anything. So if you're a young man and you are weighed down by your sins and you're trying to think of a way to get back into the good graces of Allah, then jihad is the best way to go, because it outweighs everything else.
What should leaders in Austria and France, and this, of course, is not limited to those two countries in Western Europe, but what should they know about the immigrant populations that are coming in from multiple countries and resulting in incidents like these?
Well, they should know in the first place that these attitudes and assumptions that lead to this violence are not an outlier. They're mainstream. It's not every Muslim who comes in who believes these things, but because these things are indeed taught in mainstream Islam, there is no doubt that a great many more people than Emmanuel Macron probably expects or assumes hold to these views when they come into France. And so, consequently, there are going to be violent attacks of this kind, and the French need to take their blinders off. Of course, all of Europe and North America need to take the same blinders off.
What do you make of the reaction of the French people, especially to the beheading of this teacher? There has been really unprecedented national outpouring of not only sympathy, but concern about the problem of terrorism.
Yeah, I'm glad to see that, and I hope that it follows through. I've explained already why I have some concerns about the French reaction in this case. Certainly, it's much stronger than it has been after some other jihad terror attacks. But I'm afraid that they're not still dealing with the actual cause of the problem. And consequently, because they're ignoring and denying the fact that these things are taught in Islamic theology, they're not going to be able to formulate some kind of a positive way to deal with that.
We started out talking about the closing of the mosque in Vienna And many people, if an incident like this were to take place in a city in the United States, it wouldn't even be considered to close the mosque because of concerns about religious liberty. How do you respond to that?
Well, this is the problem. Is religious liberty a license to break other laws, or is it not? That's really the key question that all of the Western states are ultimately going to have, all the Western governments are ultimately going to have to answer. Is the fact that it's a religion and the fact that violence against other people is taught as part of this religion, does that mean that it can be taught unopposed and unimpeded in the United States without any pushback at all, because otherwise it's an infringement upon religious freedom? Is religious freedom really some sort of a get-out-of-jail-free card that you can use to do anything else that you want, even if it is in violation of other laws besides the First Amendment protection of religious freedom? Or does religious freedom end where other laws begin and you're perfectly free to practice your religion, except insofar as American law has delineated other things that you have to observe? This is the problem. It's that there's a very imperfect understanding right now of what religious freedom is really all about.
If you would, talk to the issue of, within the last 4 years, the Islamic State, at least as a military threat and force, has ceased to exist. Does the Islamic State still exist in some other form?
Very much so. Very much so. And this is very important, because the Islamic State, when it lost its territory in Iraq and Syria, it didn't fade away. What it did was it reconfigured itself and told its followers that lone wolf attacks in the West were what they were going to concentrate on henceforth. And so this is exactly the kind of thing that we see working out in Austria and France now. This is what the Islamic State strategy is now. And so the Islamic State threat, as far as the West goes, is possibly even greater than it was during the time when they had the caliphate.
What, if anything, is preventing lone wolf attacks like this in the U.S.?
Well, there has been a very good record on the part of law enforcement officials in thwarting many, many such attacks. Over the years at my website, Jihad Watch, I have given news of many, many people who were arrested in the United States right up until recently who have been plotting jihad terror attacks. And so we owe a debt of gratitude to law enforcement for their ability to keep on top of this situation and to prevent such attacks. At the same time, they are hamstrung to some degree by the fact that the U.S. government is still committed as a matter of policy to ignoring and denying the motivating ideology behind the threat, just as the French government is. And so that's going to make for some jihadi slipping through the cracks.
It is as likely as not that Vice President Joe Biden will become President of the United States and be sworn in January. What is your confidence in Biden, given his track record as both a senator and vice president, in recognizing the threat of Islamic terrorism?
Joe Biden is going to take us back to the Obama years, where the United States government was partnering with Muslim Brotherhood-linked groups, heedless of the fact that the Muslim Brotherhood is dedicated to establishing the caliphate and waging war against unbelievers. The United States will be aiding jihad groups, particularly in regard to Israel, restoring the payments to the Palestinian Authority and to Gaza, to Hamas and Gaza, for humanitarian aid. And people say, well, what's wrong with humanitarian aid? Well, there's nothing wrong with humanitarian aid as such. However, money is fungible. If I am spending a certain amount of money on food and then you start giving me money, then I have some money that's freed up that I can use to buy other things. And so if the Palestinians are not receiving money from the United States and they have to devote money to more basic necessities, and then the United States resumes giving them large amounts of money, then they have more money for rocket attacks and other kinds of jihad attacks against Israel.
Robert Spencer is director of Jihad Watch. He's author of several books on Islam, including his latest, The History of Jihad from Muhammad to ISIS. You can purchase this book and find out more about Jihad Watch at issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Robert, thank you.
Thank you.
On the other side of the break on this Friday, November the 6th, It's Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We've got our four soundbites lined up and ready to play. You'll listen, then you'll vote. 1-877-623-MYIE. 877-623-6943. Thanks to a generous donor, we've purchased a building for the new studios and offices of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and The Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The donor will match up to $200,000 for the purchase and renovation.
The entire cost is approximately $375,000.
You can view an architect's rendering and make a special tax-deductible gift at issuesetc.org.
Or call 618-223-8385.
Thanks for your consideration.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
You eat his body and you drink his blood? That's the same surprise that many people had when they first heard about the Christian faith and the practice of communion and partaking of Christ's body and blood from the altar. The November issue of the Lutheran Witness is all about the Lord's Supper, our fellowship together, our fellowship with other church bodies, and the practice of close communion. Pick up your copy today to learn more at cph.org/witness. You can also visit witness.lcms.org to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Silicon Valley is a place of cutting-edge innovation which radically changes lives, where science fiction is already in research and development. In the heart of this digital chaos is a sanctuary of constancy and reverence, Hope Lutheran in Fremont, where nothing is new under the California sun, where the timeless gospel is proclaimed and the sacrament is celebrated with the historic liturgy that truly changes lives. And thanks to Silicon Valley, you may find us on the web at hopelutheranfremont.org.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
When Martin Luther preached the dedication for the Torgau Church, he asserted that nothing else happened in this house but that our dear Lord speak to us and we respond in prayer, thanksgiving, and praise.
Issues Etc. guest Dr. John Pless.
The same could be said of Concordia Theological Seminary. This is a place where our Lord speaks to us through His Word, and we respond in joyful and thankful confession. We therefore invite you to visit our campus, where the Word of Christ dwells among us richly.
Learn more about studying for the vocations of pastor or deaconess at ctsfw.edu or call 1-800-481-2155. Forming servants in Jesus Christ to teach the faithful, reach the lost, and care for all. Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, ctsfw.edu or 1-800-481-2155.